You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to get sleepy because you're about to learn about hypnosis and how it can radically change your life. Okay, let's go. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am pumped that one of my favorite plant party products on the planet is sponsoring this episode. If you know me but at all, or have spent but a few seconds skimming my Instagram or my recipes, you'll know that Sun Warrior Plant Protein Powder is the Kanye to my West, the bees to my knees, the Wilson to my castaway. Okay, it's a product I wouldn't want to live without. Are you looking for a way to make your smoothies actually fill you up so you don't need a follow-up snack a few minutes after finishing your smoothie? Blend in Sun Warrior. Do you not want to get bloated, gassy, or feel crappy after consuming protein powder? Switch to Sun Warrior. Are you not a fan of protein powders with weird, chalky textures and nasty flavors? Use Sun Warrior. There is a reason I blend Sun Warrior protein powder into every smoothie I make and bake it into every baked good I bake. And that reason is, well, there are many reasons. So head to the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/46 to read all about the many reasons and to find out how you can get started with Sun Warrior. Fun fact, I originally met today's guest at Soul Camp. Remember my chat with the two Soul Camp founders back in episode 40? Small world. Funner fact, Grace Smith, today's guest, is one of the most experienced hypnotherapists on the planet. It's true. And it's true that Grace is on a mission to make hypnosis mainstream, which is the opposite of mission impossible because Grace is very successfully doing just that. I really don't even need to introduce her to you because she tells her own story perfectly. But I should prepare you for all the literal oohs and ahs that will come out of my mouth during this chat. And I should prepare you that after listening to this, you will have a level of excitement about hypnosis that you never thought possible, which won't happen because Grace brainwashed you, but rather because I did. Just kidding. Grace, I am so excited to talk to you today. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really thrilled to be here.
You're not going to make me quack like a duck, are you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so why don't you just tell us right off the bat, what is hypnotherapy?
Sure. I call hypnosis meditation with a goal. Most people equate hypnosis with what they've seen in the movies. So thanks a lot, Hollywood, right, and Vegas stage shows for completely misrepresenting one of the most powerful tools there are for personal development. Essentially, the way hypnosis works is when we become very deeply relaxed and we're feeling safe, we become open to suggestion, but only open to suggestions that we want to absorb. Mm-hmm. So for example, if someone came to me and they really, really, really wanted to quit smoking and they've had such a hard time quitting, we go down into this beautiful theta brainwave state, very similar to deep meditation. I make the suggestion, you no longer desire to smoke, and they're able to quit smoking. But if someone came to me and said, my husband wants me to quit smoking, but I still love it, I would say, come back when you want to quit. Otherwise, it'll be a waste of your time and my time and your money. Mm. And so in that way, I hope it quickly right out the bat gets anybody who's wondering if this is mind control to realize it couldn't possibly be, because the efficacy of hypnosis is based on how badly you want the result.
So you can't just like hypnotize your husband whenever and just make him do whatever you want?
I would be a billionaire, a million times over if that were actually possible.
So cool. That's really funny. So you're saying that hypnosis is really getting somebody into a deeply relaxed state where they're open to suggestions on like a subconscious level?
Yes, exactly.
And then you can, I guess, make those suggestions, but they have to want to be relaxed and want the result.
They don't need to want to be relaxed. They need to want the result. Yeah. Mm. All that's the only predictor of success. So if someone came to me and they said, you know, I love hypnosis. I believe in hypnosis. Hypnosis is great. And, you know, my boss really needs me to overcome fear of public speaking so I don't embarrass myself at the next quarterly meeting, but I have no interest in public speaking. Again, we're not going to see the best results. But if someone came to me and they said, I don't believe in hypnosis at all. I think it's voodoo. I think it's ridiculous, but I really, really want to stop biting my nails. They'll stop biting their nails because there's nothing to believe in. There's no magic here. Although the results are so phenomenal. Sometimes it feels that way. There's no belief system here. It's not a religion. So whether you quote unquote believe in it or not plays absolutely no role. It only has to do with whether you want the actual end result. And everyone will relax during a hypnosis session because that's the whole, my whole expertise is to help people do that. Some people relax more quickly. Some need a few more sessions to get down into that deep state. But ultimately, every single person on the planet can be hypnotized, whether you're super type A or not.
Well, that's, I like that clarifier at the end, super type A or not.
Yeah.
Can you tell when somebody is in a relaxed enough state to receive the suggestions? Like, are there visual cues that you can pick up on?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I first opened my business, I was working in Manhattan and I had an office in Union Square. So I mentioned the type A thing because that's what everyone said. Mm-hmm. They'd come in and they'd be like, my mind is a steel trap door. I'm so stressed out. I'm a type A personality. I don't even know if this is going to work. And I'd be like, that's nice. Close your eyes. The thing is, even though some people need a few more sessions than others, everyone will see results after the first session because you're going to relax to some degree. So those physical cues are things like, well, there's quite a few of them actually, but the first one that I always notice is when people start to respond more slowly if I ask them a question. And so you realize we're not doing this automatic conscious response thing. And they weren't waiting to respond to me. They were present in the moment, just breathing and being. So if I ask them a question, it actually takes a little bit longer to respond. And there's always this big swallow, like a gulp that happens beforehand. And sometimes people's eyelids move a little bit, as in like when you're in REM sleep. When you're really deeply relaxed, that's one. Also, the body temperature can change. And so sometimes people will become a little flushed or that'll look a little different. But ultimately, you can just see in general that the body is deeply relaxing. There's also something I call the puppy breath when I'm teaching my hypnotherapy students. So if you've ever looked at a puppy and they're, you know, walking around in circles, trying to find the perfect spot to lie down.
Yes.
And going circling, circling. And then they lie down. And then a few seconds later, they go... It's like this big breath, right? And it's, and then they're asleep in 2 seconds. That's what I call the puppy breath. And at some point in what's called the induction, when I'm helping the person relax, the client will do their own puppy breath. And I'm like, awesome, now we're in.
Oh my God, that's really cute and cool that they do their own puppy breath.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, we went right into this. So let's back up a little. I have so many questions. I'm so excited to get into all this because I love that you're making this modern and cool, you know, and not weird and not just something that gets done at like high school graduation parties or like company outings, you know, like I love this. So I want to know before we get back into like how everything works and what can be great for and everything like that, how did you wind up doing this?
Yeah, really good question. I'll give you the short version. So when I first graduated from college, it was 2008, and I started working for the largest fundraising firm in the world. My background was in human rights studies. And so I was raising, literally the campaigns I worked on were $300 million. And we'd be raising money for different nonprofits and building wings to new hospitals and things like that. But it was 2008. So everyone was losing their jobs, losing their pension, losing their retirement, and fundraising at a time when everyone else is panicked about their finances is terrifying. And because it was the largest firm in the world, coming back and saying, we got a whole bunch of no's today, wasn't cutting it. So my job was always on the chopping block. And I started to experience anxiety in levels that I had just never, ever experienced before. It was just every day waking up feeling sick and knots in my stomach and terrified to look at my email. And I didn't have any healthy coping mechanisms that I had developed over the years. So I was living in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and my coping mechanisms, and part of that too was in Philadelphia, my coping mechanisms turned to drugs and alcohol. That's how I decided to cope with my anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it got real bad real fast, which I'm so grateful for. And I actually was able to get sober when I was 24 years old.
Wow.
And as soon as I got sober, I was already smoking cigarettes, but I was chain smoking after that. I was clinging to them like a lifeline because I'd given up all this other stuff. But 6 months into my sobriety, I was like, this is disgusting. Why am I still smoking these? If I'm not drinking or doing drugs, why can't I get rid of these little sticks? Like, what is on here? And a friend of mine suggested hypnotherapy. And I start with that first part of the story always because I want everyone to be clear that I would not have turned to hypnotherapy first. And the only reason why I accepted her suggestion to try it was because I'd just been really knocked to my knees and I realized I didn't have all the answers. And so let me give this a shot, because I was just as skeptical as anyone else, thought it was clucking like a chicken, thought it was mine, all had no interest. So I went, my arms crossed, you know, really rigid, kind of like, this guy better not be a scam artist. I don't have a lot of extra money lying around, so this better work. And, you know, like now I, when these clients show up and then after our second or third session, they'll apologize to me and be like, I'm sorry, I was such a jerk our first session.
You're like, I've been there. Oh, that's so good. You had that experience so you can relate to everybody who comes to you like that.
Exactly. I'm like, I just totally get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up quitting smoking in one session, which is abnormal. We can go over, you know, about how long it takes per person a little bit later, but I did quit in one session. And because my background was in human rights, my reaction to that wasn't, oh, neat, I'm so happy I'm smoke-free, let me go on with my life. My reaction was, why the hell does anyone have emphysema? Mm. Why does anybody have lung cancer? Why is anybody doing anything they don't want to do if they don't want to do it? What is this thing? What is hypnosis? And why don't people know what it is? And why don't they know it's so effective? So I immediately saw it as a human rights issue, that there was this branding, like horrific branding mishap, where people thought hypnosis was something, one thing, where it was totally on the other end of the spectrum, where it was safe and calm and relaxing and inviting and so effective. So anyway, fast forward, I'll get to the best part of the story real quick.
No, you're doing great. I love the story. You can tell even more details. I'm so curious about everything. Okay. But like one thing, so you literally had that first hypnotherapy session and then what happened? You just like didn't, like you, the thought of smoking a cigarette after that session was repulsive to you? You just didn't want it ever again?
I noticed right away, I wasn't repulsed right away. I had another session after that to sort of strengthen it. And after that, it took a little while, and cigarettes definitely gross me out now. But what I noticed after the session was I just didn't think about having a cigarette. Oh, wow. It was so weird. It was like the compulsion to smoke had been erased.
Wow.
And smokers know, I mean, you've planned that out all day. You plan out where it's going to be and when you're going to have one, and you're thinking about it for 20 minutes before you even go outside. And it's like a ritual. So when that just goes away, it took like a day or two when I realized, oh my God, I haven't even wanted one.
Wow.
I haven't even been thinking about it. It was just gone. It was amazing. And then after the strengthening session, I would say I still wasn't repulsed, but I was just, you know, if I saw other people smoking, it would almost have the feeling of like, why are they doing that? Mm. And then it took a little longer to actually feel kind of, you know, grossed out by smoke. Huh. And yeah, everybody's experience is a little bit different. But again, I wanted to quit so bad. Mm-hmm. I was on a scale of 0 to 10, I was a 15. Mm. So I think that's part of why I quit in the first session.
Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, so go on. So you you quit smoking and you're like, this needs to be available to more people. And I hear you on that branding thing. I mean, it's a really interesting way of putting it, but it's so true that, you know, everyone's thought of hypnosis is mind control and woo-woo and comedy as well. I mean, when you think hypnosis, the first thing, at least I think, and I think most people, is like, people you know sitting in chairs on a stage, like pretending to drive a car, or, you know, doing like running around like animals, or like just weird things. And that's what you think. And then you move on.
I know. And it's so interesting, because when I first became a hypnotherapist, those things didn't upset me that much, because I just was sort of like, oh, you people can differentiate between what's funny and fun and also what can change their lives. But after all these years and thousands of sessions, it just makes me so angry.
Yeah.
Because what it does is people see it and then they think, well, I would never want to do that. I would never want to make a fool of myself, or I would never want to give my mind over to
yes.
someone else. And what I want to point out about those funny stage shows is every single person on the stage raised their hand and volunteered to be there. You will never, I promise you, see a hypnotherapist grab someone who is unwilling from the audience and drag them to the stage. Because, like I said before, you have to want the result.
Right.
So these are typically, not always, but typically class clowns.
Right.
Want to shake their thing like Beyonce anyway and get a laugh. And you'll also notice with those stage shows that as the show progresses, they remove people who aren't participating, because they'll
right.
give a,
yeah.
you know, a suggestion and not everybody does it. So they take out the people who don't. So at the end of the show, you're left with the one person
who really wants
the result.
Yeah. Oh my God. So true. I'm flashing back to my high school graduation party that the school put on. And my boyfriend at the time, my high school boyfriend, was one of those class clowns. And I vividly remember him getting on the stage and getting like knocked out the moment the hypnotherapist did its thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember him like driving a car in his seat and us rolling over. But then there were some random people left on the stage that weren't doing it, that like, you know, I guess I thought like, oh, it didn't work on them, but like, who cares? And so they just bounced. And you're right. It got left down to the funniest people who were most willing and happy to do the craziest things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
Well, that reaffirms that you have to want it, which is really good. And I think comforting and exciting for people, because instead of feeling scared, like, oh my God, I'm going to go to someone that can take advantage of me, it's looking at it like, wait, this desire that I really have, somebody can actually help me manifest that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I've had some people come to me and say things like, I want to forget my ex.
Oh.
And I'll say, I'm really sorry. This is not Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. There is no, there is none of that we can do. But similarly, it's not like when I overcame smoking that I just didn't remember I had been a smoker. I just didn't want to smoke anymore. So if you're going through heartbreak or a breakup, what you can do is take your power back and not feel that pain every day, but you're not going to forget the relationship.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm excited to talk about all the things it can help with, but I know I've interrupted your story. So keep on going, because it's going to get even better.
So I wasn't ready to quit my day job yet and become a hypnotherapist by any means, but I did want to know more about this. And I had a debilitating stage fright. I'd always wanted to be a performer. My gramps was an actor and my older brother was in a band and all this stuff. And I had terrible, terrible stage fright. So I used hypnosis for that, just out of curiosity to see if it could help me. Mm-hmm. And that one took a little bit longer. I'd say it from the time that I started working on that with the hypnotherapist until the time I became a lead singer in an all-girl rock band was about 10
sessions. Wait, is that serious?
100% serious. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So some things happen faster, some things happen slower, but literally 10 sessions from I would turn red and be shaking just to give my sales numbers in the middle of a meeting with 10 people and be nervous all morning about it, to singing in front of a group of people and still nervous about it a little bit, but not nervous enough to not go.
Right.
And actually perform. So once that happened, I said, okay, I need to get a certification in this. This thing is way too powerful. It helped me with the two biggest problems in my life currently. And it happened really, really fast. So I got a certification and I started helping people on the side, colleagues to help lose weight or a family member to overcome some anxiety issues. I helped a friend who, you know, had a fear of flying get across the country easily and effortlessly.
Wow.
And I just kept seeing again and again and again how powerful this was. And it started to really strengthen my resolve. Like, more people need to know about this. I don't know that I'm the one that needs to tell them, but somehow more people need to know about this. But the tipping point was I'd been dating this guy for about a month, and his father was a UN peacekeeping ambassador in Syria. Wow. So he was the guys wearing the blue berets.
Whoa.
Yeah. And his UN convoy was bombed.
Oh my God.
And the last memory he had was looking out the window and seeing a bazooka pointed at their convoy.
Oh my God.
And he blacked out, woke up in Lebanon about 10 days later, and he had had a stroke and was paralyzed on the left-hand side of his body.
Jeez. And this was a month, you were dating his son for a month when this happened.
Yeah. And actually they really coincided. I finished my hypnotherapy certification like a day or two before our first date. So we'd been dating a month and I'd been a hypnotherapist for about a month.
Interesting. Universe. You're weird.
Exactly. I know. I'm like, astrologically, something was going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, 3 months later, he was brought back to the States, to the Rusk Institute in New York City. And because he was so high up in the United Nations, they actually hadn't shared with the family the extent of his injuries because they didn't want that information intercepted by the other side. So when he arrived, his family didn't realize he'd actually been completely paralyzed on the left side for that long.
Mm.
He hadn't moved at all in 3 months. So the guy I was dating said to me, can you please go see if you can help him just improve his mood, improve his mindset, because he's completely depressed. He's in a complete depression, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Your identity is gone in an instant.
Right.
You know, this man was really a warrior. And when I walked into the Rusk Institute, I was so intimidated. All these white coats and people with these, I mean, you know, years and years of studying what their expertise was and all this medicine all around me. I am, you know,
one month. You just started, with this like woo-woo thing.
Exactly. Oh, so I get in and I looked at Alexandre, that's his name, lying in the bed. And he could barely make eye contact with me. He was just so broken. And we started the session, and then halfway through the session, this thought came into my head that said, you know, Grace, he's military, be militant. So I said, okay, Alexandre, I want you to imagine you're flying over a city at night and you can see all of the electricity and all of the lights. And now I want you to find the place where there's a blackout, where there's no energy, no electricity at all. And let me know when you're there. And he said, I'm there. And I said, when I count down from 3 to 1 and snap my fingers, there's going to be a spark. And you're going to see that light there in the middle of the blackout. 3, going even deeper, 2, 1. There's the spark. Now the spark's traveling down the left-hand side of your face, down your shoulder, through your arm, all the way through your hand, and all the way out your finger. And I hadn't even finished the word finger, and he was moving his finger.
No. On his left side.
Mm-hmm. And he opened his eyes, and he said, what do I do now? And I said, keep moving your finger.
Oh, my God.
And he started crying, and I started and his wife was crying, and the nurses and doctors were crying. It was just, it was unbelievable.
I'm crying.
I know. I tear up every time I tell the story, and especially because the best part is I married his son. So I married his son, Bernardo, which means that's the first time I ever met my father-in-law was that moment.
When you changed / saved his life.
It's incredible.
Wow. That's a unique fairy tale story.
100 million percent.
Wow. So he's fine now?
Well, he still has limited range of motion with his arm, but it's so much better than he was. But he's walking without a cane.
Oh,
he was voted, you know, man of the year in Brazil. They're Brazilian. And he has an amazing new career. He's got a new 2-year-old baby. It's like everything's incredible.
That's amazing.
Really good. So I remember walking home from the Rusk Institute that day down Fifth Avenue, just being like, and I'm done.
Yeah.
I can only do this until everyone knows what it actually is. And I quit my fancy corporate job that day.
Huh.
And I launched my business the following week as a hypnotherapist using Living Social. And I sold 1,000 vouchers in 24 hours.
Wow.
Not expected. So I was frantically calling the salesperson being like, shut it down.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've heard that using those platforms can be amazing, but can also be like insane.
Oh, it was
like
insane.
You had to fulfill 1,000 orders. Like what time frame?
In a year, I did 8 to 9 sessions a day, every single day, my first year in business, making me out the gate one of the most experienced hypnotherapists on the planet, just in my first year. Yeah.
This is the coolest story. I'm having the best time. I feel like I'm like watching a movie, but we're just talking. I'm staring at my window, but I feel like I'm so in it. Yeah, so what happened
next?
I've been on
a mission to, you know, make hypnosis mainstream ever since. That's my whole goal. I have a thriving private practice, but that wasn't even ever really the goal. The goal was always to just make hypnosis mainstream, to educate as many people about this as humanly possible. And so that's why I love this opportunity to speak to your audience, because the more people that I can help reframe their expectation of what this tool is, I mean, that's the whole thing I've been doing ever since that day.
You're like the hypnosis spokesperson.
Yeah,
you've rebranded it. Oh my God. Wow. That is an incredible story. And it just seems like it happened so naturally. And it, like, you were called to do this and you were like the person that was meant to do this.
Mm-hmm. It really feels that way. And I definitely had my resistance in the beginning, because believe me, it's so much cooler and more accepted now than it was even 6 years ago. And it was really bizarre to go from having this fancy corporate job that everyone expected and thought was normal to being a hypnotherapist and hearing every day the clucking chicken, hearing every day that I don't believe in it, even though there's nothing to believe in. So there was a lot of stuff to come over. It was hard to move into a career that sometimes felt embarrassing, even though it was changing people's lives. It was such a confusing thing. I'm like, I'm making more of an impact now than I did my entire life until I became a hypnotherapist. And yet people respected my other career infinitely more than they respect this. And that's insane. Yeah. So it was tough, but I definitely agree with you. It was a calling for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, you know, how you said that there's nothing to believe in, that people are like, I don't believe in it. And you're like, there's nothing to believe in. I don't explain that. Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about, to believe in something would require faith. And so let's, you know, that would be like a religion. That would be, do you believe that so-and-so is the savior? And do you believe these origin stories? Do you believe that prayer makes a difference? That takes faith, because there's no actual proof. Whereas hypnotherapy requires no belief. There's no origin story. There's no deities involved here. It's literally, you know, that most people try to make changes when they're really stressed out and cortisol is pumping through their bodies, the stress hormone. They're so in fight, flight, or freeze survival mode when they're like, I'm never eating pasta again. I'm so sick of this. And the body will never let you make a lasting change to your habits, beliefs, or emotions when you're in survival mode, because it just wants you to survive. It's our least creative state. And most people in our world operate from that state all day long.
Right.
So when you go to the opposite end of the spectrum and you're feeling so safe and relaxed and you say, I just don't want to eat pasta anymore. The body goes, oh, this feels really good.
I like your voice. You just totally, I love that.
You know, it's like, of course I don't want to eat pasta anymore. This feels so good. It feels so safe. Why would I continue to do that? And you're able to absorb the change, absorb the suggestion. And there have been many studies, and there are more and more coming out, and great places like the Mayo Clinic and Stanford and Yale have been studying hypnosis for years. And they've watched the brainwave patterns. When you're in hypnosis, you're imagining something, but you're experiencing it like it's real. So you are creating neurological associations in the brain as if you're actually doing it. Versus if without hypnosis, you just imagine that you're doing something, it uses a completely different part of the brain that is not the same as if you were actually doing it. So when Olympic athletes use hypnosis to imagine themselves doing their sport, their heart rate can get up to the same level as when they're actually physically doing it.
Wow.
So it's really incredibly powerful. It's like a rehearsal in your mind for the kind of person you want to be, the kind of life you want to live, except for you're creating the same neurological connections in your brain as if you actually were already that person, which is why it can happen so quickly. And there's nothing to believe in about that. It just is physically what happens. And some people need 3 sessions and some people need 5. But ultimately, as long as you have the amount of sessions that you need, Everyone can benefit from this tool. The only caveat being someone diagnosed with schizophrenia. That would be the only time where hypnotherapy would not be beneficial, simply because if we don't have a firm grasp on reality, we don't want to start saying, imagine, right? And so other than that, it can help literally anybody.
Wow. Well, what you're describing to me sounds like what I always thought of as like visualization meditation. I thought that's what athletes use. I mean, I've been doing visualization meditations for years and years and years, you know, visualizing myself on the Dr. Oz show or visualizing myself feeling great in my summer shorts and all sorts of, or visualizing myself landing safely after a flight. Mm-hmm. Is this the same thing, just a different word, or how is it different from meditation?
Well, you've totally been doing hypnosis.
What? No. Am I certified? I maybe should get certified.
Totally. I have a great school. You should definitely join us.
Let's talk about that after. Yeah, for sure.
But that's why I call hypnosis meditation with a goal. Literally everyone who meditates, the first time they go into hypnosis, they say, oh, this feels so familiar. And people who say to me, I've tried to meditate and I found it very challenging. Hypnosis is going to make meditation so much easier and so much deeper because I guide you there. So let me clarify two things. If you're listening to a hypnosis recording, you're going to find very few differences between that and a guided meditation, except for that a hypnotherapist is trained to use very, very specific language, whereas someone who creates a guided meditation might not have had that same training. And so they might be telling you a story and you know, and how to visualize something, whereas the hypnotherapist is using a combination of neurolinguistic programming to make sure that it goes even deeper. But because recordings are generic, they actually feel very similar. So that's why I always call it hypnosis is meditation with a goal. With a hypnotherapy session, though, the way that that's different from meditation is we're doing a lot more with that. So if it's a one-on-one session with a highly skilled, trained hypnotherapist, you go in and you weed out the bad stuff and then you replace it with something great. Huh. Whereas with recording, you're basically just saying affirmations and doing visualizations.
Which like is a guided meditation.
Yeah, they're so incredibly similar.
Just a little subtle, different words.
Exactly.
Okay.
So sometimes I say to people, think of if your mind were a garden and it were completely overgrown with weeds. And all of a sudden you're like, I want to put some beautiful flowers in there. And you're taking seeds and you're just throwing it on top of the disgusting overgrown weeds. That's in some ways kind of what just straight up doing affirmations is like. It's like, it's still kind of a mess in there, but I'm just going to throw these seeds on there until something pops up. Whereas with hypnotherapy, we go in with our rake and our hoe and whatever other gardening tools, and we get rid of the weeds first. We cull the land, we fertilize it, we put the seeds in, and we water it with conditioning. And so what you're left with is all flowers, right? As opposed to
some random ones.
Right, exactly. So that usually helps people to see why affirmations totally work. They just take way, way longer and aren't necessarily as powerful in the long run.
Gotcha. So is also what you just described, you know, affirmations, is that more self-hypnosis? Because I know there's both hypnosis with like you, like a private session, or there's also self-hypnosis, which I've seen in many of your videos. And I know you have a whole like online, like Netflix kind of thing for self-hypnosis, right? Grace space.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So you really hit the nail on the head. The difference between self-hypnosis and hypnosis with a hypnotherapist really comes down to specificity versus something more general. And so, and well, that would be really the difference between a recording and a private session. With self-hypnosis, we can't really do too much deep work because we're in that meditative state. So we can't see it from the outside in order to pull out the weeds, but we can say those perfect hypno affirmations that are exactly what we need to hear. So I would say somewhere, you know, I'm trying to come up where in my analogy self-hypnosis would fit. It'd be sort of like, self-hypnosis would be like throwing seeds on top of the weeds, but the seeds were like genetically modified super growers. So it's going to happen faster than if it's just conscious affirmations, because you're in the subconscious when you're in hypnosis, but it's still not as fast as weeding them out first. So a great thing to do is see a hypnotherapist, get a session, and then continue with your self-hypnosis after the fact. That's like the perfect 1-2 punch.
1-2 punch. Actually, you know, I kind of forgot about this till this moment, but I actually saw a hypnotherapist when I was studying and preparing to take like the SATs, ACTs for college. I am a terrible test taker. I really just don't like taking tests. And I'm having this memory now of my mom taking me to this like strip mall where there was a hypnosis center. And I did some hypnotherapy. And I remember we did that. And then I could bring it the tape home and do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was effective. Maybe I didn't. I don't even know. I was so young. I was probably just like, Mom, what the hell is this? Like, you know, I probably like didn't even want to take the test anyway. So maybe it didn't work. I don't know if it worked or didn't. But I mean, I got into college, so maybe it worked. But yeah, like, definitely. Do you get like personalized tapes when, you know, when you, is that still a thing where you then go home and have your customized, you know, weeding and then planting?
Definitely. So there's a couple different things that I've done. Now, that's one of the reasons why I created Grace Space, is because I said to myself, if I'm going to make hypnosis mainstream, there needs to be a way for people to access hypnosis no matter where they are in the world and no matter what their socioeconomic situation is. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not mainstream. It's just one more thing that's listed on Goop that fancy people with Lululemon pants get to do, right?
Yep.
So, which I'm totally fine with that. That's great. Most of my clients are A-listers. They're very fancy, phenomenal people, and I love helping them, but that's not taking it mainstream. Mm-hmm. So I created this, as you said, this Netflix for hypnotherapy, where you can log in and for a small monthly fee, you get access to every single type of hypnotherapy you could imagine. And it has all different types of topics, you know, the weight loss, the nail biting, the fear of flying, all that stuff, but it's full length courses. So I try to make it as specific as possible, even though because it's a recording, it's going to be general. Mm. Then, and I, all of my private clients also are required to be Grace Space members, because it's a great way for me to be like, okay, awesome. So we had this great one-on-one session today. Now here's your homework. Listen to these 5 recordings inside Grace Space between now and our next session.
Oh, cool.
And if someone wants a 100% custom recording specific to them, then that's an extra fee on top, simply because when you're going through the private session, unless you're just hearing affirmations over and over again, in which case you didn't really need to see a hypnotherapist anyway, that could have just been a recording.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're weeding those things out, to listen to a recording where you've done weeding, it's sort of bizarre. It's kind of like you'd have to return to the problem just to undo the problem by the end of the recording. Does that make sense? Like, you'd have to imagine still having the issue in order to get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
So those recordings are not beneficial to listen to. You already did the weeding once. You don't need to
right.
do it. It's done.
Right.
That's why I don't always just provide a recording of the session. But if someone says, okay, I want a really specific recording just for me, just my topic outside of Grace Space, you can definitely purchase that and I'll record that for the client.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So how do we find out more about Grace Space? Because I'm not a Grace Space member, but I have a feeling I might hop on the Grace Space party bus after this call.
I would love that. So if you go to gracespace.co/join, or you can even just go to gracespace.co, there is a sign up page. And actually right now we have a promotion with a 10-day free trial.
Oh, sweet.
So everybody can get on in there and check out what we're doing. My main website is graysmithtv.com, and that also takes everybody to Grace Space. If you just scroll down, and you can see some of the free hypnosis challenges that I do that are live.
Oh, cool.
And you can get my daily Grace Notes, which are little hypno affirmations that I email out every day and reprogram our subconscious over time. So there's tons of great goodies, but I highly recommend for anyone who's listening to this and they're like, oh man, this is exactly what I need. Check out the 10-day free trial of Grace Space, because people just love it. Our community is flourishing and it's really changing people's lives. It's so cool to watch.
Well, clearly, I mean, we can see why. You're amazing and you're so in love with what you do and such a higher mission than just being like a cool, famous hypnotherapist. You know, like you're that's not what you're in it for. And that's, you can feel that. And that's why you're making such a big difference. And also the name, Grace Space. Like, are you kidding? That's perfect. Like, are you kidding? You were born with the name Grace and this is what you do? Like, come on.
Thank
now.
You.
Hashtag awesome. Universe.
Yes, totally.
So let's talk about some of the things that hypnosis and hypnotherapy can help with. You know, we talked about smoking, quitting smoking, or kind of getting over exes, but just wait, you said you can't forget about an ex, but you could just emotionally detach.
Yeah, not feel that same stinging pain every day, and mm-hmm. to be able to move on and perhaps find a new love, or just feel really confident in your own skin so that you're not constantly thinking about this person. It's so powerful when you can use hypnosis to remove an obsession. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we erase the person and the experiences you had in the past, but you just don't need to think about them anymore. It's over. Let's move on to the next phase of your life and get on to meeting your actual person.
Wow. Okay. So that's surprising to me, because I always thought hypnotherapy was helpful for very tangible things like fears, like you said, of public speaking or test taking, in my case, or flying and smoking. But you're talking about even a different level of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, because I'm working now, most of my private clients are people at the top of their game in their career. They're either actors or CEOs or money managers, but they're people who are at the very top of their game. So their problems are things like, you know, how do I achieve the next level of excellence without giving up my humanity? You know, it's definitely more kind of existential, loftier things, because most people won't come to me just because over time, you know, once you have so many clients and such a wonderful, great, big following, you need to increase your prices. Otherwise, you're going to be doing 9 sessions a day again. Okay. And I can't do that because my mission is to make it mainstream. So I need plenty of time to do my free online challenges for thousands of people. So I have very little time for private sessions, making it more expensive. So anyway, those people are not going to pay $500 a session to necessarily overcome nail biting, right? They're going to want to use this for something else way bigger. But let's talk about when I first started my career, when I was doing the Living Social and my sessions were $40 each, because
people have
$40 to try anything, right? So people come to me for every type of thing under the sun. And also a lot of the hypnotherapists I've trained and certified work under me now, and they offer sessions for as little as, you know, $100 a session.
Oh, cool. Good to know.
So there's all that too, that there's a whole spectrum, a whole range of pricing available. So some of the fun ones, let's see. Insomnia. Hypnosis can help overcome insomnia so quickly that nobody needs to have insomnia anymore. Just
what?
No more. Just give it up. You don't need to have that problem anymore. Let's just move on. Totally.
Oh my
and
God.
What we do is we actually have sessions with our clients really late at night, like at 11, and we just help you fall asleep. And you do that 2 or 3 nights in a row and it's over.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you have a sleepover party?
Yes, exactly. Slumber party.
Wait, can you do hypnosis over the phone?
I only do sessions over the phone now.
Oh.
I don't even have an office anymore.
Wow. So the person just puts on headphones. Do they have to be seated a certain way or in a certain environment? I mean, I guess in that case, that person would be lying in bed. So that's funny. You don't ever wrap up the session if you're just like, you end when that person's snoring.
Exactly. And then I just gently hang up. Exactly. So the reason why I did that actually is because hypnosis requires you feeling safe and relaxed. What I found when I had my office in Union Square was people were always showing up late and they were always showing up so stressed out because New York is crazy. So
Union Square especially.
Like, oh yeah. My train stopped on the tracks for 10 minutes. My boss was a jerk. I spilled my coffee on myself running across the street, all this stuff. Then it would take, you know, so long to help everybody relax because they came in such a riled up state. We'd have the session and then go right back out into the chaos. So the state of relaxation was rather short, and that's really the required thing. That's what makes hypnosis hypnosis, is feeling safe and relaxed. So what happened was a lot of these people were traveling, or they would get sick and they'd say, I don't want to miss my session this week. Can we just do it over the phone or Skype? And they'd show up so calm because they're home, they're in their PJs, or they're in their, you know, they're in their hotel room. And then we get done with the session and they'd go take a bubble bath. So that state of relaxation was extended so much that I said, why am I paying rent in Union Square again? Because this is so effective. People love it and they're so much more relaxed. And I saw no decrease in the efficacy of the hypnosis. If anything, I saw faster improvement doing the phone session. So it's the only thing I offer now.
That makes so much sense. I mean, I'm no hypnotherapist, but even when I do my one-on-one health coaching, I do it exclusively on the phone because I think people are more relaxed in their homes. And you know, we talk about their bowel movements and their spouses and all sorts of stuff where you want them to be in a relaxed state to even just open up. So I hear you 100%. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great. Plus then, you know, now I get to have clients from all over the world. And I do. It's really exciting. You know, in a few hours, I'll have someone calling me from Russia. So it's just really fun to be able to serve the whole planet because that's really what I want to do anyway.
Well, you'll need to learn some more languages to be able to communicate with everyone.
I'm still working on Portuguese.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, insomnia is a great one. Anxiety is a fabulous one. Mm-hmm. And panic attacks, because you're going into a safe state anyway. So you're just training your body to relax more and more. Weight loss is phenomenal. Of course, that one takes a little longer because we're not going to instantly wake up 20 pounds lighter. So if you're going to use hypnosis for weight loss, please don't expect to go for 3 sessions and lose 20 pounds. You need to stay with the hypnotherapist for the length of the time that it's going to take to lose the weight, but it's still faster than anything else. And the beautiful thing is it's not a diet. It's not a fad. You're changing your association to food. Mm. You're changing the way you relate to the fuel you put into your body, and you're changing the way you consume it. It's so beautiful. So, you know, the clients I've had who lost 100 pounds, they might've worked with me for a year, but they don't relapse.
Right, because it's a permanent change in the way you relate to food. So you're saying you can like hypnotize someone to crave kale and not crave Pop-Tarts?
Well, again, they need to really want it.
Right.
So if they do, and there are some people who do, I've had some people come to me and say, I want to be a raw vegan. I can't do it on my own, but I really want to be a raw vegan. And they become a raw vegan. But if someone comes to me and they're like, I love chocolate, I just know I should stop eating it. Mm. We have to get more creative because they don't really want to stop eating chocolate. So what we have to do is increase the desire for the healthy foods they do like. So if they do love grilled salmon and they do love raspberries, then when we're having them imagine a salad, there's got to be some raspberries on it. You know, it's gotta. So we work with what they do already want. And if someone doesn't like kale, the likelihood that I'm going to make them love kale isn't there. But if they already like it a little and they just want to consume more for health reasons, for their kids, or, oh man, anybody who's listening who has kids, they are so powerful, because even if you don't want the result for yourself, but you want it for them, it still works. So if you're a mom who's like, I need to lose this extra weight because I want to prove to my son and daughter that they can be healthy people and have healthy bodies and eat healthy food, that even if she still likes chocolate, she'll do it for them. So that's cool. That's like a little way to sidestep the how badly you want the results. As long as you want it really badly for your kids, you'll still do it.
Wow. That's amazing. That's great. So the weight loss goes like hand in hand with kind of desiring to want healthier foods or make healthier choices. I guess then another one might be you could help somebody exercise more if that's something they want to do. So it's anything people want or don't like want to not do, I guess, like not you want to not have anxiety attacks anymore. So you can help with that.
It's any habit, belief, or emotion you want to change, because that's what lives in your subconscious, your habits, your beliefs, and your emotional responses to things. So as you said earlier, you know, you thought it was more tangible stuff. That's what most people think. It's fear of flying, right? Versus self-love or, you know, increased self-confidence, something a little less palpable. But no, truly, it's any belief. So, you know, I had a woman come to me once who was Orthodox Jewish, and she fell in love with a Muslim man. And her beliefs were causing her such anxiety and pain and suffering because of this. And so, you know, she is actually one of the people who asked me, you know, can you help me forget him? And I said, no, unfortunately I can't. And I wouldn't honestly ethically anyway, I don't think that that would be correct for me to do, but ultimately, if you wanted to change your beliefs about this and feel like it's okay for you to fall in love with a Muslim man, that's what we could work on. But other than that, I'm going to have to refer you out. And she didn't feel comfortable with that, so we didn't do it. But that is something you could do. So if you have, let's say, for example, this is starting to come up more, which I think is wonderful and so interesting. You know, let's say that you're 45 years old and you were raised by your grandparents who lived in a very different era and they were racist. And so now you're 45 years old and you have these racist thoughts, but you don't actually believe them and you don't want to think them and you don't want to feel them and you don't actually think they're correct, but they still pop into your mind. And in some way, shape or form, they might impact even your habits a little. You can use hypnosis to overcome that. So wow. It's any belief, habit or emotional response to anything.
Wow. I'm just racking my brain about things right now that I want to, you know, change habits, beliefs, emotional responses. I could come up with a whole bunch.
A whole bunch. I know my laundry list is still so long because once you get started, you're like, now I need to do this. And you know, there's the basic ones that everybody kind of thinks of on the surface. But once you dive in, you just realize there's so much that you can work on and you can create this beautiful life, cultivate this beautiful life where you're taking responsibility for who you are and what you think and what you say and what you do in every aspect of your life. And you're no longer at the mercy of this conditioning that was primarily programmed when you were under the age of 7. That's where most of our habits, beliefs, and emotional responses come from, under the age of 7. And now that we're adults with a worldview, you know, we have the power to take that back and say, you know what, mom or grandma or whoever, that's nice that you believed that about this particular thing, even if it's you believed that baking is really important and you want to eat everything that has cream and sugar and whatever in it. But I believe this and I still love you, even though we feel differently about this topic, and that you can sever from the conditioning you had as a child.
That's amazing. Wow. I mean, it is crazy that most people don't know about this or believe it or think it's, you know, now there's even a part of me that's like, really? Like, it's not too good to be true. Like, this isn't magic. What? You know, it sounds impossible to believe, but I mean, you have enough proof just in this conversation that this is a real thing, and there's scientific support as well. This is not some weird woo-woo magical thing.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I offer the 10-day free trial to Grayspace, because I know it sounds too good to be true. I know that when you say the same thing that can help you quit smoking can help you break through your paralysis, it starts to sound like snake oil. Like, how can this one thing do everything? But if you think about it, I'll give you real quickly something from, I have a book coming out in, they just changed the publication date. So it's coming out in December and I'm so excited about it. And this is one of the main premises of the book. I call it either limb, trunk, or root issues. So a limb, if you're thinking of a tree, is what extends out, right? It's what you can see. And those would be the things like smoking, overeating. Those are the actual tangible manifestations of our issues. So we can see them. Now, if you hack off one limb, but you don't work on the rest of the tree, it's just going to grow another limb, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be the same thing, but it's going to just replace it with another problem. The trunk is stress. Meaning when you're feeling stress or anxiety, it makes whatever the limbs are worse. It makes them more tangible. It makes them more pronounced. You bite your nails more, whatever it is. And the root issues are things like lack of self-love, lack of self-worth, lack of self-confidence. And there's very few root issues, and they're shared by everybody, but they manifest differently. So even though it sounds too good to be true, like how could this one thing help with so many different topics? That's because we're focused on the limbs. Mm-hmm. What the truth is hypnosis is one mechanism. You become so wonderfully safe feeling deeply relaxed that you become open to suggestion. That's the mechanism. It's the one thing and it stays the same all the time. And my goal is to help people ultimately heal the root so that they stop growing limbs that they don't want to grow. And so that they live a life that's really fulfilling, because I don't want someone to leave my office smoke-free but still hating themselves. Yeah. So we focus on the root.
Wow. Well, when you do your press tour for your book, that is what you have to say, because that was amazing. I mean, I totally get it. I see it. That makes incredible sense to me. And I'm so excited for your book. It's called what? Close Your Eyes, Get Free?
Yep, that's exactly right. Close Your Eyes, Get Free.
Which, I mean, I want to close my eyes and get free.
Good. I hope millions do.
Yeah. Like, you can't hypnotize somebody through words. Like, can you? I mean, like, what's it about? Sorry.
Sure. No problem. So really, it's meant to be very educational. It's meant to be a reframe of what hypnosis is from what people think it is. And every single chapter, there is self-hypnosis taught at the end of the chapter. And so it includes a number of wonderful hypno affirmations and these processes to do them yourselves. But there's also going to be this really beautiful back end that people can log into with full length hypnotherapy recordings for each chapter as well.
Awesome.
So it'll train you to do hypnosis on your own so that you don't need the recording, but it's also going to come with those in case people aren't interested in teaching themselves or if they just want to go deeper.
That sounds amazing. That sounds awesome. And going back to the, you know, the root and the trunk and the tree and all the limbs and all that stuff, it sounds to me like, bottom line, hypnotherapy is just an incredible stress relief modality.
Yep. 100%. First and foremost.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the end of the story here, that all these limbs that we experience, you know, stem from stress, anxiety, fears of flying, public speaking, thinking of our exes, food addictions, cigarette addictions. That's all, I guess, can be resolved if you work on the stress and the your core, and you can address them while in that beautiful, incredibly stress-free state.
Yeah. I mean, if you just think of a really calm, relaxed little Buddha person, meditating monk, right? They're not grabbing a handful of potato chips and shoving it into their mouth. There's no impulse. There's no doing what you don't want to do. And there's no thinking what you don't want to think. And there's definitely no saying something you regret later. And so it's really about reclaiming your power, coming back to the present moment. It's really underneath it all, it's very deeply spiritual, the practice, because you're coming into being your best self, your most present self. And I think most readers are focused on, this is my problem, how do I fix it? So I usually come at it from that angle, but I think your audience is a little more advanced. And so I'm sure everyone can see this is really, really about pulling away all those layers of conditioning and getting to your true essence, your perfect self.
Oof, I am so amped up. So, I mean, we already spoke about gray space. I guess, would that be what you would suggest is the next step? Because, I mean, if I was listening to this podcast for the first time right now, I would be jumping out of my seat wanting to do something. So, I mean, it's like, it would be stupid to anyone listening to not try this out. You have nothing to lose. So I guess gray space, the 10-day free trial, or just jump right in would be great. But what if somebody wants to work with one of those practitioners that are under you? I mean, I highly doubt someone's going to, you know, be able to pay $500 or whatever your prices are. But for the people under you, how could somebody start working with them?
Right. So if you go to graysmithtv.com, that's probably the best place for everybody to go to start, so you can see all the different options. And when you scroll down on the first page, you'll see that same little post that'll take you to the Grace Space 10-day free trial or to sign up for my daily grace notes. And then if you go to shop on the website, you can sign up for sessions with the hypnotherapists who I've trained, and they've gone through over 250 hours studying with me, both in person and online. And even though they went through my school, I don't accept all of my students as Grace Space hypnotherapists. We really take the best of the best of our graduates. And they're just phenomenal. They're so incredibly talented, and they use all the same skills that I use with my private clients. So I highly recommend that if you want to go the one-on-one route to work with one of the hypnotherapists I've trained, or you know, there's just as you said, there's nothing to lose with a 10-day free trial to Grace Space. And once you get in there, I recommend starting with the 21-day mental boot camp. That's where I always let people know how to start because it's just such a great primer for hypnotherapy.
I love that mental boot camp. That's funny. Yeah. And one question, did you always have such a like beautiful, sultry voice? Because I've, you know, the recordings I've heard of you, it's just like your voice is meant for this. Or is that something you can like learn how to bring your voice into so you can relax?
People? Well, it's so funny. I remember growing up always trying to sing like Broadway tunes and it just wasn't really working out. And then Fiona Apple Tidal came out and I could sing all those songs and I was so happy and finally found a register that worked. So I think my voice has always been kind of low and melodic maybe in that way. But I also think just thousands of sessions in at this point, you start to just sound the way the subconscious needs you to sound in order to be the most relaxing possible.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's like you go into your hypnotherapist voice and it's like, bam, it's so relaxing. That's so funny. That's really funny. I wonder what your like answering machine on your phone sounds like.
It's so funny. I for the longest time getting so many phone calls from different things work related that my answering machine was actually, please do not leave a message, just email me.
Oh my God.
And finally people are like, it's a little too blunt. You're going to need to soften that. So actually the voicemail's not too relaxing at all. It's just about everything else I record is.
That is so funny. That's really, really funny. So because you're on the Party My Plants podcast, I have to ask you some plant questions and then I will let you go. I promise.
Perfect.
What is your favorite plant party restaurant? Just a place where you like to eat fruits and veggies.
Oh, Caravan of Dreams in New York.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite plant to eat?
I really love plants a lot. So oh, let me great. Think. What's coming up for me? I don't know why. I'm 7 months pregnant right now.
Oh.
And yeah. Congrats. I really just love carrot juice more than ever. Just literally just blending up carrot juice and not adding anything else. Does that count if I turn it into a juice?
Sure. Yeah. Carrots. Carrot juice. Yum. Is that a pregnant thing?
I don't know. I haven't had any really weird cravings. I just want to eat a lot of grapefruit and I just love carrot juice. So there I don't know if go. That's weird. It seems sort of normal to me. I just want it in larger quantities than in the past.
Are you turning orange?
Not at all. That's no. good.
Your baby's going to come out all orange, but that'd be hilarious. What is your most used kitchen tool?
My most used kitchen tool. Oh, my first job ever. Other than babysitting, was selling Cutco knives.
You know? Yeah, they cut through like cans and stuff.
So good. At 18, I was like the regional manager.
Of
my little town. So I use Cutco knives all the time. I actually genuinely think they're the best. I don't even sell them anymore, so this isn't like a plug.
You don't have an affiliate code for us? Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny. That's really, really funny. Okay, and what is a book that's really inspired you in some awesome way?
Oh, just any book?
Any book.
Oh, wow. I'm such an avid reader. I love to read. Oh, there's just so many. This is what's coming to mind, so I'm going to go with this. My favorite book since I was in second grade is still The Giver by Lois Lowry.
You've read it many times, like every year or something?
Oh, yeah, just constantly since I was little. It was the first big book I ever read on my own.
And then it was,
you know, first like novel. And then I think 5 years later it was assigned in class and I was like, I know this book. I've read it a million times, but it's, you know, I think it really makes us question reality. It makes us question who's in control of who we are. And it makes us question, what does it mean to be an individual? And those are all things that I ask myself when I'm helping my clients, you know, who is this person truly? Who are they as an individual? Who are they without conditioning? And so it's probably why it resonated with me when I was so young.
That is wild. Mm-hmm. What you just said is wild. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's full circle. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, on that beautiful note, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody should go to, what is it, grayspace.co, or mm-hmm. Grace Smith TV.
Yeah, gracesmithtv.com, and that'll take you wherever you need to go, whether it's the Grace-based 10-day free trial or signing up with one of my hypnotherapists, signing up for my school.
Getting your book when it comes out.
Yeah, all my social media. Yeah, and actually you can already pre-order Close Your Eyes, Get Free. So if you go to Amazon, if that's something that sounds good to you, it'll arrive just in time for the new year, and plenty of ways to transform once we get to the, you know, resolution era of the year.
That's why your book got pushed back for the resolution. Exactly. It's going to be the resolution book of 2018.
Yes, I will definitely manifest that with you. That sounds perfect to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so incredibly much. This has been an amazing hour.
Wonderful. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I told you you'd have ants in your pants to try hypnosis ASAP. Really do go to grayspace.co and try it out. I mean, if you want. I get no commission or perks whatsoever if you try Grayspace, just so you know. I mean, I'll get the perk of knowing you're making moves to change any habit, emotion, or belief that's holding you back, but that's only if you tell me that you're giving it a shot, which I hope you do in the comments section of the show notes of this episode, which are at partyinmyplants.com/46. And I'm sure that you can think of at least one other human who would benefit big time from this episode gracing their ears present. Get it? Gracing. So please share this episode with them. Again, thank you so much for listening and for leaving a review in iTunes. Like how I'm saying that is, if you've already done it, I'm manifesting it / subtly asking you to please leave a review in iTunes. I'll catch you next time.